chop it up, chop it up. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. We're the Chiefs, and we're proud. We're the Chiefs, and we're loud. All right, welcome in, guys. Farzin Vasugian here with you for another episode of the Chiefs Zone podcast. It's been a while. Doing a podcast a couple of days earlier than I promised, because as I'm sure a lot of you know, and you see it in the title of the podcast and the description, there is some breaking news. There was breaking news while I was away, and I did a quick live stream about that while I was on vacation, but we have another more serious incident that has come up and definitely needs to be talked about. So we're going to get into all of that. Again, as you see with the title in the podcast, the Dallas Police Department is looking for Rashi Rice. Yes, Chiefs wide receiver Rashi Rice. Involving an incident with racing on the highway, which caused a six-vehicle crash. We know very few details, and very little details on that have come out. And it's almost 2 o'clock Central Time as I'm doing this live on Facebook and YouTube, and also recording the podcast. And there's no report of Rashi Rice turning himself in. Now, we're in the year 2024, so he has to know that this is out there. So the fact that he has not turned himself in is a pretty big concern right now. So we'll talk about Rashi Rice and that situation right now. I've got a lot to say about that matter right now, even though we're still kind of waiting on details. There are pictures out there already of the incident, and even a group of people that are fleeing from the scene. One of them does indeed look like Rice. So we'll talk about that. I'll even share the pictures for those watching live on Facebook and YouTube. The L'Jarius Sneed trade, I did a short live stream about this last week. I have not had a chance to react to this in a podcast, so I will touch on that and give you guys my thoughts. We're not going to go too much into that because it's already gone over with. It was official on Friday. They were waiting for him to pass his physical, and you know, until you do that, nothing is official. But now it is. L'Jarius Sneed is officially a Tennessee Titan, and the Chiefs didn't get much in return. And a lot of people are wondering why. Why didn't the Chiefs get much in return? And I'll explain why later on. A big signing for the Chiefs involving a rugby star, Luis Rhys-Zamet. He is a Kansas City Chief, and this is a pretty huge deal. This is getting a lot of attention. I also want to react to some of the new NFL rules that were voted and agreed upon by the NFL owners. Some of these rule changes are very weird to me. The Chiefs and Royals are making one last big push for the yes vote in 2 days. So definitely going to touch on that as well. And we got a big rematch on Monday night. All of that here on this episode of the Chiefs. A lot of people tuning in. I appreciate all of you guys watching live on Facebook and on YouTube. I appreciate all of you. Please be part of the conversation. Comment below. Let me know your thoughts on whatever we talk about, whatever's on your mind. There's a lot to get into here, and I'll try to read as many comments as possible because, like I said, there's a lot to get into. I know a lot of people have a lot to say about what's going on right now with Rashi Rice. Allegedly, you know, I got to put that out there because it's not 100% yet, but it does not look very good for him right now with some of the details, and I'll get into that in a moment. L'Jarius Sneed, the vote on Tuesday, whatever's on your mind, please comment below. Let me know your thoughts, and we will get into that. This podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. Baseball season is in full swing. Literally and figuratively. Yes, baseball season is in full swing. You guys want to check out the Royals. You guys want to check out the Cardinals. There are a lot of St. Louis Cardinals fans in the Kansas City area. Whoever your baseball team is, wherever you are, go to SeatGeek.com. Get your baseball tickets from there. And it's not just baseball tickets. You guys can check out some NBA action, hockey. We still have some college basketball left. You guys can get your tickets from SeatGeek from, to attend the game as well there. Concerts, whatever it is, in a little over a month, we're going to know the NFL schedule. And you can start making plans there. Get your tickets from SeatGeek. And if you're a new SeatGeek customer, you can use my promo code Farzin and save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. Again, new customers, use the promo code Farzin. You will save $20 off your first purchase from SeatGeek. All right. Yes, I did enjoy my vacation. Thank you. Thank you, guys. It was certainly nice. Went by too fast. By the way, I don't know what it is. Whenever I'm on vacation every other year, someone gets traded from the Chiefs. Like, why? Why does this always happen when I am when I'm on vacation? But right, what are you going to do? That's the way the news cycle works. So I'm going to be multitasking while doing this because this Rashi Rice story here is still developing. We don't know all of the details. We're still waiting on. It's 2 o'clock. It's exactly 2 o'clock right now, and he has not turned himself in. Dallas PD still looking for him. So I woke up in the middle of the night, not middle of the night, but around 4 a.m. I saw this, and a couple of people actually emailed this to me. So, man, the timing of this to come out and, you know, for him to still not be, to still be out there, I guess, is a little weird. Look, it's 2024. We all have cell phones in our hands, okay? I am sure people in his life are reaching out to him already. I'm sure the Chiefs are already very well aware of this holiday, Easter or not, which, by the way, happy Easter to all of you. Forgot to mention that at the beginning of the podcast. So surely there are people reaching out to Rashi Rice right now about this, if they haven't already. I don't know. The fact that it's 2 o'clock and he has not turned himself in, very interesting. Maybe not turn himself in, but at least letting Dallas PD know of his whereabouts. And I'm trying to be cautious of this because we do not know all of the details yet, and I'll get into that right now. So Dallas Police Department is looking for Rice. He is the suspected driver potentially involved in a six-vehicle wreck on 75 Highway in Dallas. Dallas PD says the two drivers, one of them driving a Corvette, the other one driving a Lamborghini, very nice cars indeed, were racing on the highway, and that race caused the crash. One person was sent to the hospital. The severity of those injuries are not known right now. No reports of any deaths at the moment, thank goodness. Rice is the suspected driver of the Corvette. Now, if you guys recall, with the Henry Rugg situation, he was driving a Corvette also. Not that it matters in this instance here, but, you know, that's what players love to drive. Corvettes, Lambos, all that good stuff there. So here is... oh, bear with me one moment here. Forgot to do the screen share. We are trying to get the right picture here. Don't want to put the wrong one. Well, okay, there it is. So this is the scene of the accident. Now, this is not when it happened. This was roughly 8:48. You can see that on the bottom right-hand corner. It's in military time. But this happened roughly 8:48 Central. Or this picture was at 8:48. The accident happened reportedly around 6:20 Central time. So this is the picture that a local news station in Dallas shared for one of their broadcasts. Now, I don't know if this was live when they showed it or if this was the clip that they received. TMZ, however, they have their hands on some not-so-good pictures right here involving four gentlemen, as you can see, all fleeing the scene. And I guess there's a big debate if that's Rashi Rice right there. I mean, it looks like him. A little hard to tell, I will admit, but that looks like him to me. Now, there was a... Rice was hanging out with some people last night, and I think he was bowling somewhere. He was at a bowling alley, and I think that the business actually put out a social media tweet of him, you know, hanging out at his place. Usually when you see an athlete at a restaurant or at a bowling alley, maybe not a restaurant, but somewhere like that. They like to promote it, let people know, hey, an athlete was at our spot, whatnot, hanging out, having a good time. So he was doing that. And I think that those pictures came out before the crash reportedly happened. Yeah, I'm just reading you guys' comments right now. Hold on. Okay, a lot of you guys are telling me that there is a new video that just came out. Okay, bear with me. Like I said, this is kind of happening as we speak right now. So Red Tribe Cinema, I guess, put out a video. Bear with me. Let me look that up. I'll react to it live. It's on YouTube. Okay. When was this posted, by the way? About 11 minutes ago. Okay, so, you know, almost right before showtime. Perfect timing. Okay, I am watching this video right now. It's 33 seconds. Oh, yo, shit. Oh, that is not... Oh, boy. That is not good. Holy shit. Oh, they don't even wait. They immediately get out of the car. Oh, this was just someone who, I mean, I don't want to use the word bystander, but I guess someone else who was on the highway. Hold on. I got to watch this one more time. And I don't know if I'm allowed to show this on the live stream. Because I don't have the copyright video to this. I don't know if this person, oh yeah. Oh boy. There's a silver car that gets sandwiched. Oh boy. Yeah, that is not good. That is not good at all. Holy shit. Yeah, so you see three guys coming out of one vehicle and they're walking away. Damn. It's not good. It is not good. Not good at all here. So the details, which I was trying to get to, I showed the TMZ photos. That's really all we know. Now, there was a reporter who put out a tweet mentioning that they did just walk away without any sympathy. And that's kind of what the video shows. Yeah, not good. Definitely not good. Yeah, I don't know. Link the video. Yeah, okay. So let me link the video for you guys to watch. Yeah, that's a good idea. Okay. There it is. So if you guys want to see the clip, I just commented below. I did do a little bit of research on this. So in the state of Texas, fleeing the scene of an accident is a third degree felony per Texas code 12.34. Felony can range from 2 to 10 years in jail and a $10,000 fine. Now, we all know the rules do not apply to everyone, if we're being honest. Bear with me. Dallas PD just posted something. It has nothing to do with Rashi Rice, so never mind. Yeah, this is not a good look. This is not a good look for him. Here's my thing. Henry Ruggs. Now, I want to be clear. We don't know if alcohol was involved. But Henry Ruggs did this. And he was actually leaving a hotel. You know, in the Vegas Strip, there are a bunch of hotels there. And killed an innocent woman who had nothing to do with anything, really. And I believe a dog was also killed in the crash. And then 10 months before that, Britt Reed was leaving the Chiefs practice facility. And you all know what happened there. Here's my thing. Because these players are not dumb. They know what happened with Henry Ruggs. They know what happened with Britt Reed. I mean, it's been a huge deal that in the NFL, there are a lot of athletes that get in trouble with DUIs. It's a very common thing, unfortunately. So how is it that these athletes, and I don't care if you're coming off a rookie season and you were in middle school or high school when you heard about these stories, if it's out there, everyone knows about it. Whenever a player gets in trouble, you know, everyone at work or at school, they talk about these things. Did you hear about Henry Ruggs? You hear about Britt Reed? Did you hear about this person, that person, that they're in trouble or suspended? This is not very good. Yeah, again, I mean, we don't know if alcohol was involved, but Even if alcohol was not involved, this is already a really bad look. I mean, listen, I hate to say this, but if we're being completely honest, seeing things on video changes everything. A lot of people are asking, Heath's asking, was Rice in the pictures from the scene? It looks a lot like him. I showed the picture earlier. It looks a lot like him. Let me show it one more time, because I know a lot of people are going in and out of the live stream here. I mean, you guys tell me. That looks like him to me. I know that it's not the clearest picture here, but that is what we have for now. That and the red, well, I don't know what that is that he's wearing on his head. That looks like him to me. Looks like him to me. Here's my thing. I mean, you're coming off your rookie year. Now, it doesn't matter if you're coming off a rookie season or if you're a 10-year vet. This is going to be a bad look either way. And there's a lot to figure out. Hopefully everyone involved in the crash was okay. I think we're still kind of learning some of the details. Like I said, we don't know the severity of the injury of the person that was sent to the hospital. As of now, we only know one person was sent to the hospital. So we'll have to wait until further details. From a football standpoint, if that was indeed Rashee Rice, I don't know if he's getting kicked off the team because there were no deaths. Maybe the Chiefs do make a statement and say, yeah, we can't have this on the team anymore. We got to let him go. I don't know what's going to happen. I really don't know. A lot of guys, I see all of you guys in the comments speculating as to how many games he might be suspended. I have no idea, man. There is a huge inconsistency, with the NFL when it comes to suspensions and fines with these kinds of things. I've seen people say 2 games, 4 games, 6, 8, an entire season. Some people before we got extra details, some people were wondering if his career would be over. I don't think his career is over. And again, I hate to say this, but if someone did die, I think that's when you would have to question whether or not his NFL career continues. Fortunately, no one died. And that seriously might be a big break for him. And man, I'm telling you right now, if Rice does get a second chance with the Chiefs or with another team, dude, the fact that no one died needs to be a serious learning lesson here. By the way, and I'm not seeing anyone in the comments say this right now, but I've seen a few people on Twitter already say this. Stop making excuses for the guy. Oh, he's young. This happened. No. If you're old enough to be driving a vehicle, so, you know, if you're a lot of kids start driving at 14, 15, 16, they start learning. Okay. If you are at the age, and yes, I am going that young, if you are at the age where you can get behind a vehicle, put your hands on a steering wheel and drive, you know the do's and don'ts essentially of driving a vehicle. Okay. What do you even call this? Racing on the road. I've seen this a few times myself in person, once on a street, a couple times on a highway. I mean, you can see this. Actually, you really can't see it coming because they're coming pretty damn fast. That's what she said. I'm trying to make a lighthearted joke here. But man, at the end of the day, what are you doing? This is not a mistake. This is a decision you made. This was a decision you made. This wasn't a mistake. This has nothing to do with age. You're a grown-ass man. I mean, even kids today, a lot of them are on social media, and they're very well aware who gets suspended, who gets in trouble, and for what reason. This gets brought up by a lot of people. This is not a good sign whatsoever. This absolutely needs to be addressed, which, by the way, takes me to my next point. Because Clark Hunt has expressed many times that it's important for this team to be good on and off the field. And this franchise, if we're being completely honest here, they've had a lot of players get in trouble. And I mean, some of these are kind of minor, Some of them, the details are a little vague and not really clear, but there are some that are pretty serious here, such as the Kareem Hunt incident, the one that was on camera. There were two other incidents that were not on camera. We don't really know the full details there. And I still remember a lot of people saying that the woman was lying, trying to get money from Kareem Hunt, when whatever she claimed ended up being true. The Britt Reid incident, Frank Clark had the two incidents in LA driving with an Uzi. Chris LeMond's battery incident in Vegas. Willie Gay suspended for domestic violence. Justin Ross arrested and suspended for domestic violence. I'm sure there are a couple of others that I'm forgetting and don't have in front of me here. But there's a very long list of these kinds of things. And listen, the Chiefs are not the only team. Every team deals with this kind of thing. If you go to USA Today, they actually have the list of every arrest and charge since 2000. And there's a pretty long list. Unfortunately, if I can pull that back up, it is a very, very, very long list. Several pages. It's not good. And the Chiefs have had a lot during their last few years of success under Patrick Mahomes, Travis Kelce, this core group of guys. And, you know, not that this takes away from what they've built with all the victories on the field, but you don't want to have this dynasty and have all of these bad stuff off the field happening, because it's adding up at the end of the day. All these incidents, whether it's serious or not as serious, they're adding up, and that is not a good look. I said before, Clark Hunt takes this kind of stuff very seriously because he said in the past that he wants his franchise to be good on the field, but also to not have instances like this off the field. He said this before. And unfortunately, in the last few years, you've had a lot of serious incidents. The Kareem Hunt one was a huge one at the time. Britt Reid, same as well. And I know the Britt Reid one, that became a big deal recently because his sentence was commuted by the governor of Missouri, Mike Parson. So this is, again, you know, so many incidents just adding up here. And it's just not a good look. Here's my question. What happened to the rookie symposium? Because part of the rookie symposium involved stuff like this, where rookies attend. And I think it was only to draft picks, which I think is stupid. It should have been for every single NFL rookie, even those who were undrafted and still available. Like if you entered the NFL draft and you want a career in the NFL, you want to play in the NFL, you have to attend this, whether you're with a team or not. And for whatever reason, the NFL stopped doing this. And I don't know why. Quite honestly, I'm kind of questioning, you know, did the rookie symposium, did that even work? Because we still saw a lot of players getting into trouble year in and year out. A lot of players. And this is not a very good look. It's not a good look for the Chiefs. It's not a good look for the entire NFL. This is actually a really bad look right now. And again, you know, choosing to get behind a vehicle and race on a highway, that's not good. Not one bit. And that's not a mistake. That is a decision. I'm just skimming through some of the comments here. So here's the thing. It's 2:18, and we started this podcast about 24 minutes ago, and there are no reports of him turning himself in or, you know, letting Dallas PD know of his whereabouts here. So that's the concern, is that you know, a lot of us woke up to this news Sunday morning, and we don't know the details to any of this right now. And we don't know where Rashee Rice is. I'm sure he's had family reach. I mean, again, you know, it's the year 2024. We're all on our phones every day, even on our busiest days. Okay. And everyone's aware of the news cycle these days. It comes to the phone pretty quickly. And if you're not one of those people that gets notifications, well, you're probably talking to a buddy about this one way or another. So my point is, I'm sure Rashee Rice has friends and family members who have reached out to him, and I guarantee you by now the Chiefs have already attempted to reach out to him. Now, has there been communication? I don't know. But I mean, the Chiefs are already very well aware of this. 20, 25 years ago, it's possible to go several hours not really knowing about this kind of thing. But the way news travels today, which is very, very fast, I mean, it happens. Everyone knows. everyone's very well aware of all of this. Now, we don't know if he was the one driving, Lisa. I see your question there. We're not exactly sure if he was behind the wheel, but the picture that I showed earlier, it definitely shows that he was there, that he was at the scene. We're just not quite sure what his involvement was directly, if he was a passenger, if he was a driver. I watched the clip. And I'll look at it one more time, man. It is not a good look. I don't think there's any audio on it, but I'm just watching. Yeah, oh boy. Yeah, that is not good. One vehicle gets sandwiched, and essentially you have three vehicles swerving to the right, and they hit a minivan. I mean, that's just not a good look. And it involves six vehicles. And you see three people getting out of one vehicle. Now it looks like the Lamborghini, I think. And yeah, they're just, you can't see where they're walking because the person that's behind the dash cam here, they're driving off. So I don't know. It's not good. It is not good. Like I said earlier, you have Henry Ruggs who did this. That was a huge story. And then 10 months before that, Britt Reed did that. And that was a big deal because that was right before Super Bowl 55. So this isn't, this is not good at all. This is not good at all. And I'm not quite sure, again, what the NFL is always really slow with these suspensions too, by the way. I think it was Sean Smith who played cornerback for the Chiefs. He went on to play for the Raiders, really underrated cornerback, but he was charged and arrested for a DUI for driving downtown. And I think he ended up hitting a light pole. They took a very long time with his suspension. There was also an offensive lineman. I can't remember the name of the offensive lineman. They took a very long time, more than a year, to come down on his suspension. But then you had like the Justin Ross incident, and they were pretty quick to put him on the commissioner's exempt list and then add in a suspension to that. So The Willie Gay domestic violence thing, they were able to come down with a suspension in less than a year. Frank Clark, I think, was more than a year. Yeah, that investigation took a long time. So, again, I have no idea what the suspension is going to be, what kind of a suspension is going to be, if he's going to be fined, how many games. The NFL is very inconsistent with this stuff, but he has to suffer the consequences for it. I mean, there's no ifs, and or buts about this. No, oh, he's young. It was a mistake. No, you're old enough to know right from wrong at that point. That's not a mistake either. That was a decision. I think a lot of people get mistakes and decisions mixed up so much. You know, if you're assaulting someone, if you're getting behind the vehicle when you shouldn't be, and you're doing stupid things on the road, those are not mistakes. Those are choices. Those are decisions. You learn this when you're a child, by the way. So I don't know, like, listen, maybe I was raised differently, I don't know. But the definition of a mistake seems to be mixed up out there by a lot of people. So, yeah, I'm seeing a lot of people talk about whether or not the Chiefs are going to draft a receiver. I mean, this is kind of secondary, but life goes on. And if you're the team, you still have to figure out what you're going to do. From a football standpoint, yeah, you have to figure out what's going on, figure out all the details and see what you're going to do from there. I've seen a lot of people already mention you kind of have to reach out to some receivers in free agency now, because a guy like Rashee Rice, he's supposed to be, and maybe he still will be, I don't know. But this is a guy that a lot of people have been looking at as a long-term solution at wide receiver. And he was the one who rose to the occasion at that position last year when a lot of receivers were struggling. Yeah, I know Mecole Hardman stepped up a little bit. MVS did some good things in the playoffs, but it was really Rice who was the consistent top guy down the stretch for the Chiefs. But yeah, as far as other receivers, I did look this up. Free agents that are still out there: Odell Beckham Jr., Tyler Boyd, Allen Robinson, Hunter Renfrow, Michael Gallup, Michael Thomas, all still out there. Jamal Agnew, Randall Cobb, Chase Claypool. Just a few receivers to name. And you know what? With that luxurious knee trade, you freed up a lot of money with the cap space in that trade there. So you certainly can afford maybe one or two of these guys. Again, just kind of depends on the severity of what happened, the details, which a lot of that we're still kind of learning. So can't really get too much into that. The whole Tyreek Hill incident that happened back in 2019, I think it was, where he was accused of abusing his child. But then the details that came out told a much different story than the one KCTV5 put out there, which still upsets me to this day that we have bad journalism like that. But that is why a lot of people don't trust journalism. Just ask the LSU women's basketball coach and everything going on there. But yeah, the details we know right now don't look very good. And by the way, I'm seeing a lot of people say that he just needs to tell the truth to the Chiefs. What truth is there to tell? It's not like the incident happened and everyone just moves on. Like, everyone's already aware of this. So this is not a chance for you to, I mean, maybe, I guess there are some details not out there that maybe he can tell the Chiefs coaching staff if he has not been arrested already, which we're still kind of waiting for the details on that. It's almost 2:30 and we still don't know where he is, or Dallas PD does not know where he is. That, again, just very interesting to me. Yeah, I'll get into that later, Gwen. Luis Riz-Zahmet. Good thing they got him, because who knows how much involvement he might have. And I'll get into that a little later. But as far as the draft goes, listen, I still think you were on track to draft a wide receiver in the first or second round before this incident even came up. Now, again, depending on how long he might be suspended, or if his career could be in jeopardy, which I don't think that's the case. Unless there are some new details that come out that we don't know about at the moment, not a good look. But I still think the Chiefs are still targeting a receiver anyway. It's just, ultimately, you don't know if Rice is going to be around long term. So, and here's the other thing, too, with Hollywood Brown. He signed a one-year deal. Juju Smith-Schuster signed a one-year deal, and he moved on to New England. So we don't know exactly what Hollywood Brown is going to do in 2025, where he's going to be, if he chooses to stay in Kansas City and re-sign long-term, or if he's going to go elsewhere and try to get a bigger contract somewhere else. Maybe with this Rice incident, maybe the Chiefs do try to be more aggressive next offseason in trying to extend him. But you got to look for some young receivers in this draft. At least two receivers have to be drafted. I would not be opposed if you draft three. I really wouldn't. But that is kind of what you have to do right now, especially if Rice is expected to miss some games. And by the way, again, like, whether he was behind the wheel or not, he was in the vehicle. He knew what he and his friends were doing. And, you know, I know we're kind of going into rabbit holes with this conversation here, but man, whether you were behind the wheel or not, you were with a group making some bad decisions here. If you want to play in the NFL long term, you better start making some damn good decisions. And one of them might be cutting those people out of your life. This is what I said about Kareem Hunt, because Kareem Hunt got in trouble three times in one offseason after his rookie year. And my immediate thought was, okay, if you're constantly getting involved in these incidents, you might be hanging around the wrong crowd. Now, I don't know what Kareem Hunt has decided to do in that part of his life, but he hasn't gotten in trouble since then. Okay, he got pulled over for weed. Not the worst thing in the world, especially when you compare the other incidents that were taking place. But Kareem Hunt stayed out of trouble for quite some time in his life. So I think it's safe to say he's made some key decisions. And if you're Rashee Rice, you probably need to start making some very important decisions to avoid this from happening every year. He's a very talented wide receiver. This is a guy who could be someone who gets 1,000 yards each year in the NFL for quite some time. But if you're going to do stupid things like this off the field, I mean, you're either going to go to the XFL or UFL, whatever they call it, or you're just not going to have a football career. So start making better decisions. 100%. You have to. And for crying out loud, man, bring back the rookie symposium. And by the way, I want to go back to the comment I was saying about Clark Hunt, Andy Reid, Mark Donovan, Brett Veach, those guys. I know those guys are not babysitters. They don't control the actions of other grown-ass men off the field. I get that. But these are players that you invest in. You sign someone. You trade for someone because you believe in them, and you pass up on somebody else because you went with this person. You draft these players, in the case of Rice, because you pass up on drafting other players because you believe in this person. You don't sign or draft or trade for these players and then just for them to get in trouble and then not be available for you. So if you are the Chiefs, you do need to speak up and say something to your guys, because as I mentioned, the Chiefs have a long list of these things happening during their dynasty run. And again, I don't know if Clark Hunt needs to say something. Andy Reid needs to say something, not just say something. It's got to be in a very stern manner. I don't know if the leaders on the team like Mahomes and Kelce need to say something, but this is something that needs to be addressed in a very serious manner here, because as great as this run has been the last 6 years for the Chiefs, the off the field incidents, it's not good. Look, PR today is a much bigger deal than it was 20 years ago. Okay. In the year 2004, there was no Facebook. I think Facebook had just come out at that year. There was no Twitter. There was no Instagram. I mean, these things, because of social media today, a lot of the news we have, it's a much bigger deal today than it was 20 years ago. And that's why, you know, a PR staff, whether it's for an NFL team or a Fortune 500, you know, whatever it is, it's more important now than it was back then. So I feel bad for the Chiefs PR staff, because they constantly have to come up with something, because at some point Rashi Rice is going to speak to the media, and the PR staff, they're going to be working with him on how to answer certain questions. And that's not good for Rice to be in that position, and it's not good for the PR staff to have to constantly keep doing things like this for their players. It's just not fair to those guys. But I get it. That's part of the job description, but constantly having to deal with this, that can't be fun. Not at all what you want to see. All right. I want to react to the luxurious knee trade. And by the way, if any updates come up while we're on the podcast, I'll let you guys know. Otherwise I'll post it on social media. So the luxurious knee trade took place last Friday. It was official this past Friday. So the Chiefs got a 2025 third round pick, and they swapped seventh round picks. I always think it's interesting when teams swap late round draft picks. Like, okay, I don't know how much different that's going to be, but hey, I suppose with the Chiefs and how well they've done in late rounds with some of their draft picks, I guess that's somewhat significant. Here's why the Chiefs traded Legarius Sneed. And I mentioned all of these, and CBS Sports actually put out a really good article about this a couple days later. First of all, the Chiefs cannot afford Sneed for 2025 and 2026. They just can't. The cap hit on Patrick Mahomes, Jawan Taylor, Chris Jones for the next couple of years, not very good. It is a big number, and it's not. It is not easy to get out of those deals. The other thing is, and I saw this explanation on CBS Sports' page, and I don't know how much I agree with this, but they said that cornerback is a volatile position. And I don't really know how much I agree with that. Now, here's the thing. Cornerback is a very important position in the NFL today, especially in this pass-heavy league that we're in now. And you got to have multiple good cornerbacks. Now, you also need multiple good wide receivers to be able to, wide receivers and tight ends to be able to do, not multiple tight ends, but a tight end and multiple wide receiver, multiple pass catchers is what I'm trying to say, to be able to be part of this pass heavy era, to be good at it at least. And if you want to try to not give up as many yards through the air, then yeah, you're going to need a very good defense, which would require multiple very good defensive backs, multiple good pass rushers up front. The Chiefs have been very fortunate in drafting a lot of players in those areas. They drafted Trent McDuffie. They drafted Legarius Sneed, drafted Chris Jones, and have signed him to a couple of extensions. George Karloftis has played well, gotten better. during his time in Kansas City. Mike Dana played much better this year for sure. So these are all guys who are Chiefs draft picks. So the Chiefs have not had to go out a whole lot in free agency and try to get big names in free agency on the defensive side of the ball. But the thing with the cornerback position, you're not going to get teams that are willing to give up much for L'Jarius Sneed or any other cornerback out there. Here's one example, Marcus Peters. If you guys remember Marcus Peters, and I know his tackling effort wasn't not the best in Kansas City or outside of Kansas City, but Peters did lead the NFL in interceptions from 2015 through 2018. He was drafted in 2015, and during that three-year stretch, he had more interceptions than every cornerback in the NFL. And I think during his time with the Rams, as he continued playing, he continued to be the best player in the NFL in terms of interceptions since 2015. Now, that has kind of gone down over the years, but the Chiefs did not get a lot in return for Marcus Peters. So here's what the Chiefs did in that trade in 2018. They traded Marcus Peters and and a sixth round pick to the Rams. And the Rams in return gave the Chiefs a 2018 fourth round pick and a 2019 second round pick. The 2018 fourth round pick was Armani Watts, and the 2019 second round pick was Juan Thornhill. Neither of which are on the team anymore. But Watts and Thornhill did win a Super Bowl with the Chiefs. I think Thornhill won two, and I think Watts was part of just one Super Bowl run with the Chiefs, if memory serves me correctly. I think it worked out at the end of the day for both teams. The Chiefs obviously are very successful right now. The Rams went to a Super Bowl that same year, almost had a rematch with the Chiefs in the Super Bowl, if you guys remember, epic Monday night game that year. The Rams went on to win a Super Bowl shortly after that when they beat the Bengals in Super Bowl 56. So, that trade ended up working out for both teams, but the Chiefs did not get what a lot of fans were hoping for in return. Now, the second round pick being a year later, yeah, at the time it wasn't as enticing, but once it was the 2019 season, the Chiefs had two second round picks. One of them was Mecole Hardman because they weren't quite sure about Tyreek Hill's status at the time. And the other was Juan Thornhill. And I think Juan Thornhill was good. Yeah, he got injured a little bit, but played very well for the most part, I thought. Mecole Hardman, good returner, inconsistent when it came to what he did on the field on offense. Obviously, had that big moment in the Super Bowl, which he's still getting a lot of attention for now, though he has not been signed in free agency because overall body of work is what still matters. But Mac makes a really good point that Peters was a legit ball hawk, but also got burned a lot. Yeah, that was unfortunate, but it's kind of like the wide receiver for the Bengals who got franchise tagged, T. Higgins. Yeah, he has a lot of drops, but he makes up for it for his production. You look at the Chiefs and a lot of the receivers who've been dropping passes, they're not making up for it with good production, whereas you're at least seeing it with T. Higgins. I remember a couple years ago, I think Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill were like 1-2 in the NFL when it came to drops in 2021, but they were still making up for it with their production. Now, the Tyreek Hill one was frustrating because a lot of his drops were bouncing off of his hands for interceptions. A couple of them were pick sixes. So, every situation is different. Every year is different. The cornerback market can be different every year as well. I don't think a lot of teams were willing to give up a first-round draft pick for L'Jarius Sneed. And here's the reason for that. Sneed is not – he's a great corner cover cornerback, but he's not someone that gets a lot of interceptions. So, for instance, in 2020, when he only played three games as a rookie, if he had a very good rookie season, nine games. He had three picks in that one. 2021, he had two picks and one forced fumble. 2022 had three picks and three forced fumbles. And in 2023, this past year was his best year where he had two picks, 14 pass deflections, the most he's ever had in a single season. In fact, the pass deflection numbers have gone up every year for him, which is indicative of his cover abilities. But this was his best year, not allowing a lot of yards, not allowing a lot of touchdowns. In fact, didn't allow a touchdown in the regular season, allowed two in the playoffs. But without him, that forced fumble in the end zone, or right before Zay Flowers could get to the end zone. I mean, that had to be the biggest play of the postseason for the Chiefs. Yeah, sure, the Mecole Hardman one. I mean, you can't top that, but you don't have the Mecole Hardman play if it's not for Snead in the AFC title game, where he made up for getting burned by Zay Flowers by popping that ball out right at the one-inch line, which was one of the more clutch plays you'll ever see by a defensive back, too. So, Mike Dana to the Falcons. You saw that. Let me double check on that, because I thought I saw someone. Yeah, I haven't seen that yet. Doesn't mean it didn't happen, but at least that's not what I'm seeing right now. I do see they're interested in him, though. But regardless, look, here's another reason why the Chiefs traded Snead. In addition to the money that they freed up with the cap space, they trust the cornerbacks they have right now. They drafted a lot of defensive backs in 2022. Trent McDuffie, Jalen Watson, Josh Williams. Nuzzie Johnson is a guy that they really like still, even though he didn't play last year. I think Spags was mentioning at the start of training camp, Nuzzie Johnson was actually projected to be one of the starting quarterbacks for the Chiefs in 2023, which is crazy because you have L'Jarius Sneed, who was great this past year, and you have Trent McDuffie, who was an all-pro, one of the guys who the Chiefs trust moving forward with, which, by the way, leads me to my next point with Trent McDuffie. This guy has yet to get an interception in his 2 years in the NFL. I know he missed some games his rookie year, but still, it's plenty of time for a first-round pick to get your interception. He's yet to get a pick, but he's an all-pro player. First-team all-pro. Tell me how many cornerbacks in the NFL can do that. Not record one single interception and be considered an all-pro. And once Trent McDuffie figures it out and starts getting more interceptions, boy, watch out. This is a guy who's going to be good for a very long time in Kansas City, and I'm excited to see it. Hopefully it's going to be in Kansas City for a long time. Josh Williams, Jalen Watson, these guys have done some really good things as well, especially their rookie seasons. I still remember the AFC Championship game against Burrow, and I know Burrow was missing some starting offensive linemen, three of them, but didn't matter the week before against the Bills. But in the AFC title game, Burrow was not facing any pressure, and he threw two picks in that game. Both of them were to the rookies at the time, Williams and to Watson. I think it was Watson who turned around and adjusted very well and just jumped up and snagged that football. And then Williams, I think that was the one where Brian Cook, who was also a rookie, tipped the pass and tipped it to Williams to get the pick near the end zone. And if it's not for those two interceptions, you probably do not win that football game. So, yeah, Brian Cook's going to be back. He's still on his rookie deal. Yeah, the Rashi Rice video, it's starting to go viral now. A lot of people. That video just came out right before I started to go live. So I had to react to that in real time with you guys. Christopher's asking what's going on with Rashi Rice. Yeah, the Dallas PD is looking for him. He was involved in, for those coming late, Rice was involved in some unnecessary car racing on the highway, involving a Corvette and a Lamborghini. And that led to a 6-vehicle crash on 75 Highway in Dallas. So as of right now, Dallas PD is still looking for Rashi Rice. Let me just double check real quickly here and do a quick search on Rashi Rice. See if there's an update on that. Yeah, man, cameras are everywhere. I have them in my car. At your home, your workplace, your car. Man, people have cameras everywhere. Your phone. Because somebody actually took a picture of Rice walking away, and I shared it with you guys a while ago. Yeah, this is just not a good look, man. I'm sorry, I don't mean to laugh, but somebody posted Rashi Rice highlights, and it's someone drifting, at the beach, and the person got ejected from the car. It's like, Okay, it's a little funny. Can't really. I mean, the situation that Rice was involved in was not funny, but the clip that I just saw was I mean, that was comical. Yeah, Mark saying, I hope it wasn't actually him. I mean, he was in the vehicle, so we don't know if he was behind the wheel or not, but he seems like he was there. And again, I know the picture was a little fuzzy, but I don't know, man. As of right now, it's not a good look for him and the Chiefs. Just not a good look one bit. Which leads me to my next point here with the Chiefs signing Luis Rhys-Zamet. And this is a very interesting prospect here. So he's part of the NFL's international deal here where the NFL is trying to globalize their sport. And they want to try to give opportunities to guys outside of the United States that might be able to fit in the NFL. And I think a great example of this is a guy like Christian Okoye who played for the Chiefs. In fact, I did a podcast with Christian Okoye back in November, and we talked about his opportunity coming from Africa and coming into the United States and how he picked up the sport and how well he played it at a very late age, too. So by the way, if you haven't done so already, go to YouTube and look up highlights of Luis Rhys-Zamet. They're actually very entertaining. And by the way, let me just say this too, before not to get off topic. I'm very surprised a sport like rugby has not picked up in the United States. It's very similar to football. Yeah, there are some differences, obviously, but I'm surprised sports like rugby and hockey are not very popular in the U.S. I mean, you see a lot of physicality, it's a violent sport like football. That is what we liked, organized chaos, right? And you have that in rugby, you have that in hockey, but neither here nor there. This dude is fast, especially for his size. Somebody posted his top speed and compared it to Tyreek Hill's top speed. He's faster than Tyreek Hill, of course, but you got to also understand he's doing that without pads and a helmet. So, but at the end of the day, and I hear this, from time to time, whenever someone runs a very good 40 time, oh, well, he's doing it without pads and helmet. Okay. He's still going to be fast with pads and helmet on. So, he's 6'3", 194 pounds. And the guy has Tyreek Hill like speed. He does. Whoever else you want to compare him to, Mecole Hardman, Hollywood Brown, some of the faster players in the NFL, and guys who've played for the Chiefs, do play or have played for the Chiefs. I'm excited for this guy. Now, obviously, going from one sport to another, it's doable. It's not easy, but I don't think the Chiefs would have made this signing if they didn't think that this was not going to pan out. He's got the potential. It's there. Now, you got to understand something, too. In a sport like rugby, you're playing without pads. You're playing without a helmet. And more of an emphasis on the helmet than the pads, because the pads, I mean, that won't take a long time to get used to. Putting on a helmet and playing a sport, that's going to take a little bit of time to get used to, because when you put on a helmet, obviously your vision going to be much different when you have when you're not able to see as well. Now, a lot of NFL players, or every NFL player, I should say, has a helmet on, so they're able to get used to it. But those guys have been playing the sport for a very long time. So I think that's the one big adjustment for Rhys-Zamet, is putting on that helmet and trying to get used to the different vision that he's going to have, which is going to be more limited, being able to do what he wants to do. Now, if you put him at running back, which is what he's listed as on the Chiefs website. Some people are calling him a wide receiver. He might also do some kick returning as well, especially with the new rules, which I'll get into later. But I'm not very confident in having Rhys-Zamet play a lot of snaps as a receiver, because as fast as he is, quickness and agility, those things matter as well. And that's not the same as being fast. People think those things are all the same, but they're not. The way you run routes is not just relied upon speed. So that is another thing that he's going to have to get used to, because obviously as a running back, you might line up as a slot wide receiver in certain situations. And I'm sure the Chiefs will use him as such and try to, get him some plays involved there. But as a running back, you hand off the football to him. He's, as long as he's moving in the right direction for the play and you got the blocking, the rest is up to him to just run and give as many yards as you can. So I think that could be a very easy adjustment for him playing the running back position compared to the wide receiver position. Now, I do want to get into the new NFL rules. The big one is a new kickoff rule, which is very rugby-like, where except for the kicker, all of the players on the kicking team are going to be lined up at the same spot. In fact, it's going to be very close to the end zone, and all of the players from the receiving team, except for the kick returner, are all going to be lined up on the same spot, very close to one another, from the return team and the kicking team. And that's actually how it is in rugby. So the timing of this signing is pretty good on Kansas City's part, coming after the new rules and how this could be something that benefits the Chiefs. And I think that's why Rhys Samet is going to get himself a roster spot because of kick return duties, where the new kick return rules makes it very rugby-like. So I think that's what's going to benefit the Chiefs in that area, trying to get him on the team. And I will say this too, like, I don't know why we're changing so many rules that don't even like matter as much. Like, what happened to the kick return lineup where it was five guys about 15 yards away from the kicker, and then you have four guys that are around the 25, 20 yard line, and then you have two guys right at the 1 yard line or maybe in the end zone, just a little bit into the end zone, where they're either about 20, 30 yards apart from each other or one is in front of the other. What is with that change? I think that might seriously, like, the kick return changes, the formation of the kick return changes. Seriously, one of the dumbest things. And now you have almost everybody, except for three players, who are pretty close to where the kicker is. And now they're changing it again, which is just dumb. I don't understand the need to change this rule. Like, did anyone even mention this 2 weeks ago? Like, were there people seriously saying, oh, we got to change kickoff rules or the formation? I don't know. The lineup is just so dumb. It's crazy, but I like the 5-4-2 formation, but that's not what it is anymore. The other new rule, the hip drop tackle banned. I guess the thought behind this is that they're going to reduce injuries. I don't know. I mean, that's, I guess, the reason that's been put out there. A lot of defenders were not happy when this was announced. A lot of defenders were pissed off. I know a lot of players are not doing interviews right now, but tomorrow is April 1st. So a lot of teams the way it works is the teams that have new coaches, they can begin their offseason workout program this week. So we'll start to see, you know, head coaches go back, coordinators are going to talk, players are going to talk, and you're going to start to see some reactions about this. Now, if you're a team that has a returning head coach, you have to wait 2 weeks before you begin your offseason workout program in person, which is dumb. I don't get why. Whenever the Chiefs get back into the training facility in a couple of weeks, obviously the Rice topic is going to be a big, those questions are going to be brought up. But then, you know, whenever the defensive coordinator Spags, whenever he talks, whenever the defensive players come out to talk to the media and make themselves available for questions, this is going to be brought up, 100% going to be brought up. And it's pretty tough for guys like defensive linemen and linebackers, because if a physical running back like Derrick Henry tries to go through the middle and is able to get ahead of a defensive lineman, I mean, running backs are just generally faster than those guys, defensive linemen and linebackers. And a lot of them try to do the hip drop tackle, and now that's out of play. So yeah, Christopher says go back to what football was in the 80s. Man, I agree. All these rule changes, all these, I mean, a lot of things aren't even necessary. Listen, I'll say this right now. I think the amount of times that the NFL has changed the overtime rules is stupid. I saw nothing wrong with sudden death. You had 60 minutes of football action to prevent a tie. And now you want to do the whole chess, not checkers? Like, oh, well, if we kick a field goal, we're giving the other team a chance. And now in those playoffs, we saw the new rule come into play a little bit where a touchdown does not end the game. And listen, I'll acknowledge, because I just said nothing was wrong with sudden death. If that was a rule you had for Super Bowl 58, the 49ers won the Super Bowl in overtime. I acknowledge that. But man, and by the way, who was the one team that got mocked for wanting to change a rule so badly? It was the Chiefs. Because in 2019, when they lost to the Patriots, or no, 2018, sorry, January of 2019, when they lost to the Patriots in overtime, they were proposing new overtime rules. And they got mocked for it. And I agreed with the people making fun of the Chiefs for it at the time. Because that's not why you lost. You lost because Dee Ford was offsides. You lost because your offense was shut out in the first half. You lost because Tyreek Hill was running backwards on a punt return. You lost because you allowed 13 of 19 conversions on third down, including three third and longs in overtime. That's why you lost that game. And then, what was it, 2 years later, the Chiefs benefited from winning the coin toss, and they beat the Chargers in overtime on the road. That's when Travis Kelce won Offensive Player of the Week from that Thursday night game, epic Thursday night game. And then later in that offseason, in the 13-second game, that infamous 13-second game, the Chiefs won in overtime, and the Bills did not get the ball. Yeah, as if that's why the Bills lost. They lost because of the overtime rules, not because of the 13 seconds. Yeah, not because of that at all. A lot of Atlanta Falcons fans were blaming that Super Bowl loss on overtime rules because the Falcons never got the ball. Yes, blame the overtime rules for not getting the ball. Forget about the fact that you blew a 25-point lead in the Super Bowl of all games. Shout out to Kyle Shanahan. I mean, listen, it's just I'm tired of changing rules here. Oh, something happened to this player, this big name player. We got to change the rules because of that now. It's so dumb. I don't like it. Because there's even been conversation about removing kickoffs from the game because of injuries. And I heard Brady Quinn say this on Fox Sports Radio last year. At what point do you just accept, not that the injuries are okay, nobody ever wants to see injuries. If there were no such thing as injuries and everyone was playing at full strength, yeah, we could see the we could see a lot of great action week in and week out in the NFL. Everyone would be playing at their best, but unfortunately, sports are or injuries are part of sports in a very unforgiving way. And what Brady Quinn said was, at what point do you just accept that this is a violent sport? And I thought that was a great question. You've got to just understand this is part of the sport, and these rules have been around a long time before today. But again, I think, you know, with social media and everything, the league gets pressured into things and you start making weird rule changes like the kickoff rule, the hip drop tackle. I mean, things like that. Here's another one. The trade deadline pushed back 1 week. So last year was October 31st. This year it's expected to be November the 5th. Why are we pushing the trade deadline back 1 week? It's now in the Tuesday after week 9. If I recall, it used to be the Tuesday after week 6. Why are we extending this? For what reason? How is the sport going to change drastically? Because we've already pushed it back a couple times in the past, and I don't really notice a big difference in the sport. Sure, if you have an injury that occurs in week 8 or week 9, well, I guess you have until the Tuesday after after week 9 to make that to make a trade or do something. But I don't get it. Like, why are we constantly? It's not like it's how many times have we seen a serious impact because we pushed a trade deadline back? Part of me just wonders if the NFL really even knows what they're doing. Is the NFL just doing this just to make headlines at this point? Seriously, because there's no good reason to do any of this. But that's just the way it all works out, man. That is the way it all, it's the NFL. The NFL is the king of television. They can do whatever they want, and you're going to tune in. That's all it is. A couple other things before I get out of here. So the Chiefs and the Royals are making one last big push for Jackson County voters to vote yes on April the 2nd, which is this coming Tuesday. I know that in the campaign ads, they're saying vote yes so the Chiefs and Royals stay in Kansas City. And to me, it's like, okay, here's my question. Because the Chiefs are trying to entice people with these stadium upgrades, which are not really upgrades at all outside of the activity zone. Why do I need the Chiefs to have upgrades in order for them to stay in Kansas City? The idea of the Royals moving downtown sounds cool, but I'm just not sure, ultimately, like logistically speaking, because I've heard about this for a long time in Kansas City. You all have. I think it's been like 9-10 years. Oh, we got to move the Chiefs downtown. We got to move the Royals downtown. Okay, where downtown? Because now you have all these businesses at the crossroads that are complaining and saying the Royals have not been in contact with any of us and that they're just wanting things to go their way and we're the ones suffering the consequences for it. And by the way, Mayor Quentin Lucas, I like the guy. I think he's done a lot of good things in Kansas City, but he did a live stream on Facebook last week. And he was asked about the businesses at the crossroads and the communication with the Royals. And he admitted that he had no idea about the communication between the two or lack thereof. Yet he is aggressively pushing for the Royals to move downtown. If you are pushing for this idea so much, how do you then how do you not know about the businesses downtown as the mayor of this city? How do you not know this? Because me personally, if I'm going to endorse something, you got to know everything involved. And obviously the mayor is not aware of the situation with those businesses at the crossroads. Listen, I'm seeing a lot of pushback. I'm seeing a lot of people fighting online over this kind of thing. As if we don't fight enough already on the internet over the dumbest things possible. I know the Chiefs just put out a statement a couple days ago saying that this is not a new tax. This is a tax that's already there, and we want to put it to use on these stadiums. And then the Chiefs and Royals put out this promise about what they're going to do in the Jackson County community, but there's no copy of this promise that they're making anywhere. So I'm not exactly sure. Like, I think the Chiefs and Royals are kind of at a point right now where they realize they're not in a good spot with this vote, and they're maybe a little worried about the potential outcome of this. Let me just say this. If they do not, if the no vote wins, that means the Chiefs and Royals are going to stay where they are until 2031, but they're not leaving Kansas City. Where are the Royals going to go? Seriously. They're going to go replace the A's in Oakland? You want to go to that dump? Are they going to go to... what market wants the Royals right now? The worst case scenario, they're going to move to the Kansas side. That's it. They might move to KCK or maybe OP. That's it, man. The Royals are not going anywhere. The Chiefs are not going anywhere. I know Sporting Kansas City, at the time they were the Wizards and they were sharing a field with the Chiefs, and there was new ownership that took over. They were playing in the same place as the Kansas City T-Bones, which now they're the Kansas City Monarchs. Community America Ballpark, I think is the name, at the Legends area. And they, excuse me. They are still in the Legends now, just with their own stadium. But the... one of the ideas was they would go to Overland Park. So I went to Blue Valley West High School. If you guys are familiar with that, across the street from the high school at the time was just an open field, a lot of land. Nothing was there, just a shit ton of land. Now you have grocery stores, you have restaurants, fast food restaurants, banks, You've got T-Mobile, AT&T. You have a lot of businesses now in that area. And I'm sure they're trying to expand it and make it bigger. They call it Blue Hawk. That's where Sporting KC considered going. You know, there's still a lot of open land there. It could kind of look like the Patriots, where they have Gillette Stadium right next to this big shopping center. Kind of like Legends, where you have Sporting KC right next to this big shopping center. But I don't think that's happening. I really don't. And I don't think they're going to leave. Here's the biggest thing. As much as, you know, we complain about the traffic going into the Truman Sports Complex for Chiefs games, it's not as bad for Royals games, even when they're at a full capacity, which unfortunately is not ever. outside of the couple of years where they were really good, you have a massive parking lot there. Why do you want to give that up? I think that's a terrible idea for the Chiefs and Royals to give up. And that's one of those things right there where if you're the Chiefs and Royals, you're in a good spot. Is it an ideal spot? No, it's in the middle of nowhere. It really is. You're just driving down 435 or I-70, and the stadiums are right there. It's not a very ideal spot. It isn't. But the parking structure there, I mean, that's one of the best in all of sports in this country right now. If you move the Royals downtown, traffic and parking is going to be a massive nightmare. And if the Royals do improve and start playing better, which I know is... very rare in this town. Traffic is going to be insane. I told you guys, I went to my first ever Comic-Con in downtown KC at Bartle Hall. I'd never been to Bartle Hall before. So was I to be there for once and check out the place. Dude, traffic for that event was crazy on Saturday. and even when you're leaving the T-Mobile Center after a concert or whatever it is you attend there, it gets somewhat pretty crazy there, and you have some parking there with the, you have a couple of parking garages in that area, but on the crossroads side where the Royals want to go, where are you going to have your parking? That is going to be, because that highway to that goes under, the Bartle Hall with those four towers, dude, that is not at all. Like, I mean, the traffic from that event I told you about earlier this month was pretty damn bad. It was not easy to maneuver around the area. So having that downtown worries me. Because here's the thing. I think everyone's just talking about, oh, the Royals moving downtown. Sounds cool. Yeah, it does sound cool. Logistically, how do you make that happen? Because I don't think we've had that discussion yet. Have we? I don't know, man. Like the idea, like, you know, I would love to buy, you know, three brand new cars right now, but I don't have the money for that. I just don't. The Royals just want to go downtown and, you know, live this happy life, you know, and have this beautiful scenery there. But logistically, how do you make that happen? I don't know. It just doesn't make sense. Last thing I do want to touch on here. Monday night rematch. Women's college basketball has been getting a lot of attention lately. And you look at right now with women's sports and Caitlin Clark, everything she's doing. Obviously, last year in the championship, a huge deal with LSU and Iowa. Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark with Angel Reese taunting her. And now you got that rematch Monday night. What is it? 7 o'clock on ESPN? 7 or 6 o'clock? I don't have it in front of me, but I'll let you guys look it up. And the winner gets a trip to the Final Four. You've got to watch this. And I've been watching some women's college basketball. It's been a lot of fun to watch. Caitlin Clark. I mean, I don't know what she's going to do professionally, because a lot of people keep talking about the pay in the WNBA. I don't know what that's going to look like. So who knows what she's going to do there, but Reese versus Clark Monday night, that's going to be pretty good. Yeah. I don't know what that banging is. I'm going to have to investigate that, right? Because this side right here is facing outside, so I'm going to look that up. All right, guys. My name is Farzi Vasugian. Appreciate you guys downloading and listening to this episode of the podcast. For those who watch live, appreciate you guys as well. A lot of things we covered on this podcast. We're back. I'll be back Tuesday. We will recap the vote with the Chiefs and Royals, the result of that, and I'm sure there will be an update on Rashee Rice. We'll talk about all of that and much more Tuesday night. I'll talk to you all later. Take care.